baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
A good Wednesday morning to you all. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. This is the walk-off, and today's episode is brought to you by BetStamp. They, of course, are an aggregator of betting sites, so you're going to be able to go on to BetStamp and check out which sites are going to give you the best odds. So if you're going to place a bet, you might as well make as much as you can off of it. When you sign up for BetStamp, please use the code WALKOFF. It's very helpful to the channel. And of course, bet responsibly. All right, let's get into this, because there was finally a trade made just last night. Hunter Renfroe going from the Milwaukee Brewers over to the Los Angeles Angels. I love this move for the Angels, adding a little bit of pop into their lineup, because really, I know everyone says, well, they need pitching. But if you look at what happened last year, man, pretty much after Trout and Ohtani, that team didn't hit. So adding a little bit of depth when it comes to the ability to hit the ball out of the park, hit the ball around the field, Hunter Renfroe is going to do just that. Okay, so going the other way was Jansen Junk. Love the name.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's a great name for a pitcher or a terrible name for a pitcher. Oh, that guy's junk, right? I don't know.
Old Jansen Junk.
Jansen Junk.
So Junk played a little bit, and he made his debut with the Angels last year. He's an interesting pitching prospect. Mm-hmm. He could, of course, right? That's the prospect term everyone is used to. Could turn into a starting pitcher. Elvis Peguero also went in the deal. He played 17 innings in the bigs for the Angels last year. He's out of the bullpen. And then Adam Seminaris, who is a minor league prospect in Triple A. All pitchers. I know I saw some stuff online too. Why are the Angels trading pitchers? Well, because sometimes the Angels feel like it's a 9-year-old running a video game. And I think we'll all remember the 2021 draft fiasco where they're like, we're only drafting pitchers, 25 rounds of pitchers. So, of course, that's what's in their minor league system, and that's what's going to the Brewers. Brewers are shedding salary, dude. I think this is becoming pretty apparent.
Yep. Yeah, it does seem that way.
I mean, you don't trade Josh last year.
Exactly.
You don't trade Josh Hader at the trade deadline. And I know that they said all of the right things. The lip service was there. We're still trying to make the playoffs. We're still competing. But writing was on the wall when the Brewers traded Hader that unless some miracle happened, they were pretty much bowing out of that playoff race. Even with the stud that is Devin Williams at the back end of that bullpen. And it does make sense for them to move on from Hader because they are such a small market team and money does matter in Milwaukee. But when they did, it was odd. However, they did get quite a haul back for him. So let's get into the Brewers a little bit. Number one, this Renfroe trade honestly made me feel substantially better about the Teoscar Hernandez trade. Both players profile very similarly. Like, listen, I'm well aware Teoscar is probably the better hitter. Okay. His batted ball profile looks better. Renfroe, though, doesn't hit near as many ground balls as Teoscar, and he actually can pull the ball, the fastball, right? He doesn't have to just drop it into the other opposite field. So that's Renfroe is an excellent hitter. Let's just put it that way.
Plus, he looks exactly like Mike Trout. So,
and he looks exactly like Mike
Trout. Let's get to the okay. Let's just cut the crap. This is about the Angels wanting to deceive fans. If Mike Trout has to miss serious time, they're going to trot Renfroe out in the Mike Trout jersey, and no
exactly.
one will ever know. They'll be like, "Oh, Mike Trout not playing as well today, but he's still out there."
We've all heard of the hidden ball trick, right? Well, what about the hidden trout trick? Hey, you're up there throwing Renfro.
That's a trick. When I was a kid, it was when you went fishing with your dad and he had a secret trout that he bought from the store to put on your fishing line to make you think you were a fishing genius.
That's how you get your kid to keep going fishing with you. That's a good trick. Like that.
I like it.
Okay, so let's talk the Brewers. let's talk the Brewers a little bit. Again, I think when you look at the market value of what Renfro received, it's right on par with what the Blue Jays got back for Teoscar Hernandez, except the Blue Jays got a high-end reliever. These are all kind of lottery ticket pitchers when it comes to what the Brewers are doing. And I mean, the Brewers are highly known for being able to go through opposing teams' minor league system and pinpoint some gems. Okay, they kind of did that with Rowdy Tellez with the Blue Jays, right? He went to Milwaukee just last year. I think he hit 35 bombs and was their everyday first baseman, right? Yep. So not a bad little trade for the Brewers. And then if you look at what's going on, $11 million shaved off with getting rid of Renfro. Okay, so Renfro had $6.5 million on the books, plus a $4.5 million bonus that was owed to him at the beginning of this 2023 season. So that kind of bumped his salary up past what it says on SpotTrack, but it is right around that $11 million range. Okay. You look at Josh Hader, some serious bucks being shed there on top of the fact that he's a free agent in a couple of years and they probably aren't going to be able to sign him back up anyways. Okay. So we bring all of this up. I know this is a Blue Jays focused podcast and we just talked a lot of Brewers and Angels, but I swear there's a point, Blue Jays fans. All right. And that point is, wow, do the Milwaukee Brewers ever look like a beautiful trade partner for the Toronto Blue Jays? Especially when you look at pitching, right? Because they've got some studs in that starting rotation. Corbin Burns, of course, is the glowing, shining star we all dream about. But Freddy Peralta is a heck of a pitcher as well. He has developed over the last couple of years into a possible ace as well. Like, and the Brewers are really good at developing starting pitching, and they do it a little differently in that they kind of start them in the bullpen, give them more innings. I mean, even Peralta, I know he had some injury problems this year, but I think he only pitched like 78 innings over 18 games, which broke down to about 4 1/3 innings an outing.
Yes.
They lean heavy into that new way of thinking when it comes to baseball and the bullpen and the way you organize your pitching staff and use your pitching staff.
Still had Freddy Peralta still had a beautiful whip of 1.038. I'll take that all day long. Mm-hmm. So
pretty good little ERA too on him, right?
Yeah, 3.58.
Yeah.
One of the best ones on our team. If he was to come over tomorrow, he'd be.
So let's talk the logistics here. Okay, because the Milwaukee Brewers have an MO of constantly trying to compete. It's something that I really admire about that organization. In a time in baseball when we have seen so many other teams decide to tank and try to accumulate assets that way, the Brewers have gone about it with a winning mentality. And I love that in an organization. But they've had to make some tough decisions because they don't have the bankroll that maybe some of these top teams that normally always make the playoffs that are there with the Brewers do. So let's look to start with at Brandon Woodruff's contract. Okay. So Woodruff was arbitration eligible this last year. He wound up making $6.8 million in 2022. He has 2 years of control left on his contract. Both years, he should fetch north of $10 million a season. Arbitration is always a roll of the dice. Maybe he only makes $9.5 million this year and then $13 million next. We're going to say it evens out to about $20 to $22 million over the next 2 years. Then you look at Corbin Burns. And how many years of control does Corbin have left on his contract, buddy?
Corbin Burns has 2 more years as well. He's a free agent in 2025. Estimated to make $12 million this year.
And then probably about 15 the year after. So a little bit pricier, but still, we're talking both Woodruff and Burns, by the way, are front end of any rotation starters.
Yep.
Freddy Peralta, too, for that matter. Freddy Peralta, though, younger and under more control. Do you mind just taking a quick look at what the years of control on Peralta is? I think it's 4, but I don't want to be inaccurate.
Looks like Freddy Peralta. Is not a free agent until 2027. So
okay, so 5 years of control. So if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, these are the three pitchers that you are asking about. I think Peralta is without a doubt the least likely to be moved because he fits far more in with the way the Brewers run their organization. They've got a guy who isn't even ARB eligible for another 2 years with Peralta. So I think the most likely to move is Burns or Woodruff. I think Woodruff probably makes the most sense because Burns is a perennial Cy Young candidate.
I'm sorry, just to clarify here with Freddy Peralta. He has bypassed his, they bought out his ARB years.
They bought his ARB years out. Right.
So he's 3.5 this year, 5.5 next year. Those would have been his ARB years. And then there is a 2 club options in 2025 and 2026 for $8 million each. So
okay. So again, most likely the Brewers aren't going to move on from Freddy Peralta.
No.
But boy, oh boy, Woodruff and Burns are such interesting pieces. Now listen. Alejandro Kirk is obviously a stud, and it is going to be almost impossible for the Blue Jays to replace his offensive output if they are to move him. Now, he does make the most sense to move, in my opinion, for a few reasons. The value is there, and on top of it, he takes up so much time at DH, and if you do have a guy like George Springer, who is obviously on the decline with the amount of time he can put into the field, you kind of need that DH spot open, and when it's both Kirk and Springer that are constantly needing to get their bats into the lineup to use that spot, it gums things up. And I think this is part of what this Blue Jays front office is trying to do, right, is balance the roster a little bit more. Yeah. Another interesting tidbit here about the Brewers is Colton Wong, their second baseman, who is making $10 million and is a free agent at the end of the 2023 season. Now, it's not like the Blue Jays need a second baseman, but they could use more versatility within their lineup. Colton Wong is an excellent hitter. And on top of that, he's a lefty bat, which is a profile, obviously, the Blue Jays are after. Now, Santiago Espinal is an incredibly proficient fielder, defensively very strong, was an all-star last year. And on top of that, under control and not make, and he's making league minimum. This just fits beautifully into the Brewers universe, right?
Yeah.
So in this scenario, maybe the Blue Jays can wind up filling a hole with the lefty bat, swapping second baseman, taking on more money, and that might be a little bit more desirable for the Brewers to move one of those high-end pitchers.
You've really painted a mega deal here, Scott.
A little bit of a mega deal.
A little bit of a mega deal. Clip it. All right. A little bit of a mega deal. I love it. No, that's
I mean,
great.
It could be it much smaller than this too, right? It could be much smaller than this, and they obviously don't need to address all of their areas of need.
Look,
with
you're making a great point, though. They're clearly moving on. They have top flight pitching available.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, in Freddy Peralta, I don't think he's available to us, but he is the next man up for them, right?
Yes.
We can move on from a Corbin Burns, and we've got a Freddy Peralta to hopefully take that next step forward, right? So,
and they're an organization, dude, that has confidence in their ability to develop starting pitching.
Yeah.
Like you see this hubris, if you will, from teams like the Brewers and the Rays, where other teams wouldn't move on from starting pitching like these organizations do, but they're confident in their ability to develop from within, and that is not something every team can speak to. I mean, look at the Angels, right? So,
man, would I ever take Corbin Burnes on this team? So if you're telling me there's a chance.
I really do think there is a chance, because the pitching is such a... strength of the Brewers.
Yeah.
And if you can insert a guy like Alejandro Kirk into that lineup, a guy who's under control till 2028, a dude who has already proven himself as an all-star, as a guy who can handle a pitching staff, as a dude who fits in to any clubhouse, right? Like he has just been a chameleon in that Blue Jays clubhouse, soaking up all of the knowledge that is available out there. Like, I love Kirky. I don't want to give up Kirk. But if we're talking a guy like Burnes, guys.
That's a no, yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, like you said, the fact that they did move on from Josh Hader, one of the best closers in baseball, just last year at the trade deadline. This is a team that is...
volumes.
Is... really leaning in a certain direction, right? I don't think you move on from Josh Hader if the plan is to hoard Corbin Burnes, right? So makes sense, man.
Even the way the Brewers have set up their contracts is so impressive to me, right? Like, if you look at this Renfro contract, right? They gave him, I think it was $15 million over 2 years.
Yep.
Backloaded the bonus, right?
Yep.
Gave them the ability, and I mean, $11 million for Hunter Renfro, 29 home runs last year. Still not a bad price, right? I mean, pretty affordable.
You know,
so they. I was just going to say
it's the same approach that the Rays did with Wander Franco. Right? What did they give him for a contract? It was, let me just pull up the numbers here. 11-year, $182 million. Whoever saw the Rays paying $182 million to anyone? I've never in a million years would I have considered that. But then when you turn that
microscope up a little bit,
it's,
yeah.
$1 million last year, $2 million this year, $2 million next year. And then even in 2025, when he's 24 years old, it's only $8 million. That's still, I mean... pretty good for him. And I'd say that's the last year, but like, that's probably the year they make the trade midway through that season because in 2026 it's $15 million, and then it's $22 million and 25 for the last half of it. Like,
something to watch. This Brewers and Jays match. Just, I love it so much. And I really hope that it is an avenue that is pursued. Of course, we need to wait and see. One other piece of news that came out yesterday was Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, he changed his agent. Apparently, just found out his contract not so good. Someone told him, "Hey, Ronnie, you got hosed."
So Ken Rosenthal tweeted that he has changed agencies. Which is weird halfway through your mega contract. And of course, I think that's part of the problem, right? Is that his mega contract is now looking like a real bust on the player's end of things in comparison to some of these other young generational talents contracts, right? You look at Fernando's, you look at Lindor's, right? Like, there's these mega contracts out there, and Acuna feels obviously a little bit snake bit.
8 years, $100 million contract for Ronald Acuna Jr. I joked that he got hosed. Honest to God, when I look at his stats page, 82 games last season. Sorry, in 2021. I still consider the one that just finished to be this season. 119 games this most recent season. Two big injuries. I think one was, are they both knee injuries? I know the one he stepped on first base weird. But point being, this, I mean, you know, we sometimes are critical of owners ripping off players and these team-friendly deals and, oh, how bad he got Hose.
No, there's risk. Honestly, there's always risk.
You're buying out the risk, man. Or, like,
yeah.
If he's done, I'm not, oh, that's a,
yeah, obviously, a bold that's way of putting it.
I'm not saying he's done, but I mean, that's why, as a 20-year-old, as a 21-year-old, you take that
consider signing that
contract
deal.
As you go, you know what? When I'm 23, what happens if I step on first base weirdly? You know, I eat a bad batch of tacos and I got to miss some time. All of a sudden, you know, $100 million in the bank is nice. It is nice. So, with all that being said, it is just interesting after the talk 2 weeks ago about Ronald Acuña Jr. being traded to the Blue Jays or the Braves moving on from Ronald Acuña Jr. So the timing is interesting. It is worth noting, though, that he does have some super talented family members that are coming up the pipeline.
Oh, so, really?
Oh, yeah. I think this is the big factor here. So per Ken Rosenthal, Acuña's two young brothers, I think, and a cousin, are all pretty top tier prospects here. So his brothers, Luis Angel, 20 years old, is the Rangers' number 7 prospect.
Okay.
And Brian, who's 17 years old, is a Twins prospect. And then he has a cousin, Miguel Garcia, is the Royals' number 5 prospect. So they've all joined him at this new agency.
Bloodlines.
Which is Magnus Sports. So it could just be a case of, like, you know, the family sees, you know, old Ronald there. Maybe took a team-friendly deal. We're going to learn from him, and we want to go a different direction, and it just makes too much sense if everyone in your family is with one particular agent. So it is news, but it's also, I don't necessarily think this is an indicator
it's probably that nothing.
He wants out of town, and he's going to be pushing hard for a new contract.
Yeah, it's probably nothing.
I don't see a holdout coming next year or anything like that. So it is what it is. And honestly, he's still going to be a $100 million at the end of this. Like you can't tell me anybody got hosed when they got a 9-figure contract.
Couldn't agree more.
Right.
Couldn't agree more. And honestly, yes, in comparison to his counterparts out on the market, he is being underpaid. However, he does have club options, which of course they're going to take for his 29 and 30 season, but he is going to be a free agent at 30 years old, very similar to Aaron Judge. He could still get a monster $300 million contract, and maybe he can even match what a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. wound up doing, jumping the gun on a contract at 22. We'll need to wait and see, right?
Absolutely.
All right, everybody.
Out of curiosity, I know before we say goodbye here.
Yes.
Ronald Acuña Jr., if he hadn't have signed that contract when he did, given his two most recent seasons with two kind of scary injuries that have cost him some real time, what kind of contract does he get if he's heading into contract negotiations, having missed a good chunk of time? Like, that's a factor to consider too, right? Is even if it's not a career ender, just having those, like, look at Byron Buxton. I think that's a good comparable. What's Byron Buxton
but also
got for a...
look at Aaron Judge, right? If you can have your one healthy season be the season before you go to free agency, all is forgotten. Because Judge has struggled with health his entire career up until last season, and then, you know, breaks the AL home run record and is going to get north of $350 million.
Okay, Byron Buxton just signed his big deal. Mm-hmm. This is crazy to me. They gave him 7 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
That's more AAV than Acuña.
Yeah.
Byron Buxton never plays. That's insane. 92 games, 61 games, 39 games, 87 games, 28 games. Jeez Louise, Byron Buxton. His agent deserves a nice steak dinner. Anyways, I digress. Sorry for taking us on that tangent there. Anything else we got to get to before we say goodbye?
I'm into any tangent you got, buddy. No, right. I think that's everything for Wednesday here, but we'll...
Last thing here. Renovation at the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
Underway. Well underway. So, I got some pictures here to pull up. 2.2 million pounds of material have been recycled from the stadium over the 35 days of demolition so far. So,
look at that picture, everybody. Oh, Rogers is so cheap. Now they want us to sit on cement slabs, right? Come on.
No cup holders there.
No cup holders there. They're turning it into a football stadium.
All right. It'll be exciting. It'll be exciting.
I like that they're dealing with the 500s first. I know that next year they're kind of dealing with the 100s and 200 sections. Mm-hmm. But those sections are already so much nicer than anything up in the upper concourse. Like, it's just so nice that my people are being looked after, you know.
$7 ticket holders are going to be treated. No, it's exciting, man. I'm
all right. I'm so let's do our YouTube diligence here. Thank you so much to everyone who has watched right to the end. We really appreciate it. If you are still watching, please hit the subscribe button or the like button. If you are on audio, a little shout out to you. Much appreciated. I know we were talking about this about a week and a half ago, but I did just want to say that in the last year, our listens are up 700% on the audio side. So a huge tip of the hat and a thank you to all of you. If you are on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, hitting that subscribe button really does help us out. And of course, you can get a hold of us. Feel free to reach out at any point. On Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast, and our Discord, Hustlin' and Bustlin' These Days. You can join that for free. The link is in the show notes. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and cracker shows to picture. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.